Support for Here and Now comes from BetterHelp, committed to supporting mental health through therapy. Clients are matched with one of 25,000 therapists and can communicate via video, chat, or phone at betterhelp.com/public.
Let me ask you a question. Have you used an emoji today? Maybe more than one? Those little pixelated characters can help us show emotion, as their name suggests, but they don't always represent the diversity of their users. And changing that isn't easy. Rayouf Al-Humaidi knows all about this. When she was 15, she campaigned to add an emoji depicting a woman wearing a hijab, the head covering donned by many Muslim women. Here she is presenting her case in 2016.
If there are four emojis to represent the four different stages of a mailbox, why on earth isn't there one to represent the 500 million Muslims that wear the headscarf?
Rayouf Al-Humaidi's story is told in the documentary The Emoji Story, and she joins us now. Welcome.
Thank you.
So we're so glad to have you, and I know that you proposed the hijab emoji because you couldn't find an emoji that represented you, and not just you. As we heard you point out in that bit of tape, hundreds of millions of Muslim women were left out. So what made you want to do something about that?
For sure. Quite simply, it was just the need to feel represented in a time where, living in Europe, I was witnessing the increased Islamophobia, and I felt that any representation of myself was always misconstrued, misrepresented. So I thought, you know, it's time for a Muslim woman to be a part of the conversation of how do I want to be represented in technology and in the digital space.
And this isn't an easy process, right? Because in the film, we learn that there's actually an official group that sort of recognizes emojis. It's called Unicode. It's a Silicon Valley organization. It decides which new emojis get included every year and then are adopted by companies like Apple, Microsoft, and Google. And you had to actually go and appear in person to argue your case, as if you were going to the Supreme Court or something. I mean, what was that experience like?
It was honestly insane. At that point, I was 15. The most I've ever done in terms of presenting was biology lab reports. So I was definitely taken aback because, like everyone, I would never think that creating an emoji would be such a bureaucratic process. But it really is. It goes through several rounds of approval. But going in was so shocking. I had my dad outside of the door who's like, "Rayouf, you can do it. You're gonna show them that a hijab emoji is needed." And I guess it worked.
It did work. But not only were you sort of standing in judgment of these tech officials at Unicode, of course, you got a lot of media attention for your cause. And so then there's a lot of feedback from the public. And I know you got a lot of support on the one hand, but also fielded some criticism on the other hand. And one that I know you heard a lot was this assertion that you were, sort of representing a repressive culture by campaigning for a hijab wearing emoji. Mm-hmm. How did you deal with that?
For sure. At that point, I knew that for me, it was a choice, and it is the case for millions of women, but I don't go into this assuming that that is the case for everyone. But at the same time that I feel empowered in my hijab, and so do millions, I feel like there's a room for compassion for that understanding as well. And I think slamming such an idea as, oh, it's a symbol of oppression, a lot of the times comes from people who have never really engaged in talking with a Muslim woman and are just taking headlines, sensational headlines they see. I never really took it to heart because I know that these rhetorics aren't motivated by actual knowledge of what it's like to be a Muslim woman, but what they're reading and making assumptions about.
You know, one of the things we learn in the film, too, is that for a lot of people, emojis are kind of their own language. They use them in the same way that they use words, and that has drawn attention from actual linguists who are studying this sort of thing. And so in the film, we hear from one of those linguists. His name is Michael Everson, and he's actually contributed several emojis of his own, and he got them approved by Unicode, including one with the middle finger. That was apparently important, but yet he's critical of campaigns like yours. Let's take a listen.
The user community seemed to feel that I need to express myself and this doesn't show me properly, and so it, you know, we should add more things. The problem is that it's impossible to achieve because somebody's always going to be left out.
Somebody's always going to be left out, says Michael Everson. How do you respond to that?
I don't think anyone is going into this saying, oh, I have a freckle on the top left corner of my face, I don't feel represented. No one is going into it like is being assumed. But at the same time, if we're making the argument, oh, no one's going to feel represented, then why are we dedicating spaces to very idle objects? Like I mentioned, the four mailboxes, if we're so impassioned by the fact that, oh, there shouldn't be representation for everyone, then why are we investing space in things that no one uses?
Do you agree with that to any degree, that there maybe are too many emojis, or maybe we should clear out some of the old ones that don't get a lot of use?
I think it's just, you could break it down to what is in our day-to-day, what are the most necessary items to feel represented that, oh, would make sense in the format of a digital space. And in terms of the hijab emoji, the way I've seen it used is in bios of a lot of fashion hijab bloggers, or just regular women who wear the hijab, or in context of like telling stories. But I think it's a much more complex sociolinguistic analysis of what emoji deserves a space and what not. And I don't know if I'm the right person to make an amazing comment on that.
Well, it must be rewarding, though, to see your emoji in use in the years since, of course, that your campaign was successful, and this was several years ago. You're now a student at Stanford University, so I have to ask, what are your plans for when you graduate?
As I ask myself that every single day, so I'm still not sure. Right now, I'm majoring in economics and product design. I think product design was motivated by the fact that I spent, you know, quite a bit of time trying to understand the user experience of the fabric on the hijab would look like as an emoji. So I think that definitely made an impact in my major decision. But in the future, I think I'll still be really interested in technology and social impact. But I'm still uncertain. That's all I know.
Well, if it's any indication, you've got to, maybe you could go to law school because you had such success arguing your case. And congratulations on that. Raouf Al-Humeidi campaigned for the inclusion of a hijab emoji successfully, and her story is told in The Emoji Story. For more information, go to hereandnow.org. Raouf, thank you so much.
Thank you.